cliffcentral.com.
Let's start your day, shall we? Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Sia Sangweni. Good morning, Mbulelo Tinta and Pumi Mashiko, who are with us this morning, too. It's a Thursday. We know that Pumi and Canton have missed each other so much that we thought we'd bring them back together today. So we'll see how that turns out. You know how you sometimes want to bring people together, but they don't want to come together?
No.
You know how you sometimes try and set up your friends on a date? It doesn't always work.
I think Canton has all the love for Pumi and vice versa.
No, of course they do. And I love the way that they used to argue, and that's one of the things I've missed from the Burning Platform, is we've had a lot of people who feel the same way about things, and that's not interesting to listen to. It's not as fun as when people are shitposting, basically in person, about each other.
Ooh.
I love that word, shitposting. Hello, Mbulelo. How are you?
Good morrow.
Yeah. All right. So hopefully everything's on track today for a pretty good Burning Platform. That's going to be exciting. And we've also got Sean Sanders popping by for Revix this morning. That's always a highlight for some people. So let's see if Pumi, we're going to try this technology and see what we can do here with Pumi. Sis Pumelele, if you can...
She is just about to join.
Okay, did you add her?
Look at you. Yes, I did.
Look at you, Sia.
We're getting it right with the interwebs.
We are starting,
slowly but surely.
We're starting to figure this out. You know, we'll be so good at this by the time we end up back in studio. it's going to be great. Yeah, it's going to be terrific. Ah, there she is. Pumelele.
You know, virtual reality might not be that bad.
No, not at all. In fact, I think this is a better way of bringing our guests in than in any other way. It seems quite easy. Hello, Pums. How are you? Can you hear us?
I can hear y'all, and I've been hearing y'all, but I was a little bit scared that I can't get on the show.
No, well, here you are.
But Sia's talking me through it.
Well, you are with us loud and clear. All right, so we're excited about you.
I missed you guys so much.
You and Canton having a little... reunion today. That's going to be exciting.
The kind of stuff that's happening in this country.
Country. Yes.
On a scale of 1 to your heart's about to pop, how much did you miss him?
Not very much by the sound of that laugh.
My heart's about to pop.
Oh, okay. Oh. That's very sweet.
See? It's all love.
Well, I met up with a friend. She was up here from Cape Town yesterday, and we had a really nice dinner. One of our other friends joined us, and I'm talking like friend from 18 to 20 years ago friend. And we try to see each other as regularly as possible, which is actually loads of fun. And we had a lovely dinner, and I got home like an old man. I was home at 9:30, 10:00. That's not bad.
And you were done.
Done. I was ready for doo-doos. I was ready to get
the
into bed.
Curfew was late for you.
It was so nice. Anyway, we had a good time. I came up with an idea, and I want to run it by you this morning, see if you like the idea. Because if you think it's shit, then I'll obviously throw it away. But I was thinking, maybe I'm going to do a series of podcasts. I don't think this has been tried before. Well, I'm going to get 10, or maybe there'll be more, I don't know, but at least 10 of my closest friends, and we're going to do a podcast where we talk about each other and the things we've done over, you know, however long the friendship's been. And then we put out a special, it'll be like a series, you know, like Gareth and Friends or whatever. And I thought, why it would be funny is because we'll share all those stories that usually I would tell on my own on the show, but you hear it from their point of view. And it might be really exciting. I mean, everybody thinks either that their life is too boring, and this is one of the reasons I never wanted to write an autobiography. And you remember the last book was kind of the story of starting Cliff Central and what I got up to in radio and TV before that and what I want to do next. But I was strong-armed into that by the publisher because I didn't want to talk about myself on in a book. It's fine on the show. We all talk about ourselves. You bring some of your own personal stories to bear, and it helps make it real. It makes it a bit more personal. But writing a book is so different, because then, you know, it's a biography. It's the authorized biography, and it stays there for a long time. So I was very nervous about that. But with this, it could be fun, because it's actually hearing about things that could be universally funny from people who I've had in my life for a long time. So it's just an idea I'm toying with. And if I do it, then they'll come here and we'll record, like, you know, 40 minutes or whatever, and release it as a series.
Yeah, but don't do it like Oprah, where she tells Gail what to say or she's going to cut off her inheritance. You know? Yeah, it's like, it's clear Gail's been told what to say.
Oprah's name out of your dirty mouth, young
now,
man.
No, Bulelo.
I've had it with you actually this week. Bulelo. This is too much, young man.
When has Gail not done what Oprah wanted? She's always done. Even in an interview.
Now, Gareth R. Cliff.
Oh, come on. See, you got to. You can't defend Oprah. She does tell Gail exactly what to do, and Gail knows where the money's coming from. So she shuts her.
No, she does not. According to everything that Oprah has said consistently over the years, no one is getting her inheritance, not even Stedman.
No, of course not. Stedman. Stedman's like a. So she's giving everything to charity.
That is what she has said. Yes, everything.
Poor Gail. She's working so hard for this inheritance, and she's never going to get it.
Over Gail's dead body, you better believe she's getting her.
You think she's coming?
The devil always gets his piece of meat. Don't you worry about that. Gail's lining that up.
The devil.
Did you guys not get enough sleep?
Don't let them do this to you, Sia. Don't let it happen. Be the bigger person. Rise.
Oprah Winfrey.
Exactly. Go high. Yeah. Go high. All right. Go high.
Okay. When they go low,
we go high.
Thank you.
Is that your? Is that
in
what
the
you
words of someone else? Oprah did not pay to say great things.
Oh, she can't. She can't shut her mouth at the moment. That Michelle Obama. She's talking about shit like no first lady ever did before. You know, normally a first lady just disappears into the background and you never hear from them again. Not this one.
I haven't listened to her podcast series. She started a podcast.
I think you'll be all right if you miss it. I'll tell you what it's going to be. It's going to be work, 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 work. Young black girl, you're going to struggle for the rest of your life. Like, really just terrible things that you shouldn't be telling your children. I think it's a kind of child abuse. Sasha and Malia Obama are definitely not on the back foot, no matter where or when or how. I mean, their father was president.
She didn't say that.
Well, that's what she said at the DNC. She said, if you're born black, then you're born behind. And I looked at the case of her children, and I'm like, really? Really, bitch? Really? Come on.
I think Cory Booker has just put a thorn in your behind since
Cory
yesterday
Booker?
I saw you posting about him.
Oh, no, I just find he's the most annoying man in American politics. Have you ever seen anyone so insincere in your life? Cory Booker, he's the one who had his Spartacus moment, remember? A while ago? Yes, sis. We're not going to talk U.S. politics until the burning platform, because otherwise it gets very boring very quickly.
I'm just going to say the last point on that. He has not had, you know, he's let himself go, in my opinion, since he dropped out of the presidential campaign. No. Look,
Cory
I actually,
Booker.
I, yes,
were you,
I.
Were you slightly into him?
No.
Okay.
But I just.
Because if you'd said yes, I would have had to say. Sia is one of those people who falls in love with power.
No. I'm not objectifying him, but notice his eyes. He has like Carl-esque googly eyes every now and then. Anyway, no, that's besides the point.
They do. They sort of pop out of his head.
What I'm saying is he's let himself go. I keep a keen eye on some of the presidential candidates and to see where they are and what they're doing. I saw he went live the other day on his Instagram. Mm-hmm. The guy was going live from his study or some desk at his home. It looked like he didn't even care. He was wearing some old college t-shirts. And I'm thinking, You wanted the Americans to have faith in you, and here you are now looking like you just wiped off mustard from your t-shirt. Anyway, that's all.
Did he look dirty? He looked like all sorts of Americans, looking just like a lot of them.
Yeah.
But then I also have to vote for you next time for you to have power over the big red nuclear button.
Sia, we've got a call. Do you want to take the call quickly? Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Listen, all people and nations. The Antichrist has come.
Uh-huh.
Oprah Winfrey of the Oprah Winfrey Show and founder of the New Earth Church is the Antichrist.
Oh. Hallelujah.
The prophecy has been fulfilled.
Yeah, there we go.
Please watch this sermon and then tell everybody that you know. The Antichrist has come. Run, children, and tell everybody that you know. Oprah Winfrey is.
Wow. No, talk about looking
the
for trouble.
Only running we will do is the running that Oprah sang in her 90s theme song.
Yeah.
When she decided to sing her own song.
Absolutely. Yes.
Wow! Wow! Who is that? That just spat the gospel there.
That was a man of God. That's who that is.
It
doesn't matter who it is. He's a man of God. All right. So here are a few things. This is quite cool. Oh, how did I do that? I seem to have made. Oh my God!
Well, while you talk about that, I just wanted to finish off on something Bill Burr, probably one of the greatest comedians I've ever heard in my life, has to say about the wives or partners of politicians. It's like, I don't want to hear from Michelle Obama. It's like your president, your husband.
That's what I'm talking about.
By the way, if she was the president, I'd want Barack to shut the hell up.
That's what I mean. It's like, I don't want Laura Bush's opinion on shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, like, I don't want to hear it.
Oh,
like now, like right now, I don't want to hear
what... If it weren't for Nancy Reagan, there would not have been a war on drugs. If it weren't for that impassioned plea...
Well, then that's exactly why she should have shut up then, because that war...
Look where we are now. We would all just be run over with, like, crack-addicted or heroin-addicted, like, fiends, okay?
Nancy Reagan should have shut the hell up, too. By exactly that same reasoning.
I'm just saying.
Just like Bill Clinton, shut the hell up now, because it's all about Hillary. She's in politics now. I want to hear from her, not you.
Well,
Bill, you be quiet.
You still pitch up in the background and wave in her webinars. Hi, everybody. I'm Bill.
Yeah, we know who you are. Chiara Bilwe says, oh, my God, Pumi is gorgeous. Yeah, you see, Pums, now people can see you for the first time. Yes, says Pumlani.
I've been trying to. My screen here, guys, has my whole face. It's so weird. I keep trying to like shift it, and I don't know what.
Yeah, you look so much bigger than us. But I noticed when you switched on your camera, you were right up close to it, and it's not a problem.
And it's a full. It's like.
Yeah, you're taking up the whole screen.
I don't know. I keep trying. I keep touching stuff on the screen.
It's perfect. Don't worry. It's perfect.
And I'm afraid that I'm going to touch something and then I'm going to be like, then you're going to have to tell me to unmute yourself.
So listen to this.
It looked like the beginning of a Mac ad. Like just lips.
Here are some comments and some compliments. So Pumlani says, Pumi looks amazing. See, people haven't seen you in a while, Pums. Melissa says, good morning. Nice to finally see your faces. Sia is gorgeous. Wow, Sia. Gorgeous. Finally seeing Pumi. She is absolutely beautiful. People are full of kindness.
Sia's also got he's hiding his second chin there. Sia,
only you would know.
Compliments. Listen to these compliments. People are thoroughly enjoying us giving Sia trouble, Bulelo, over Oprah.
If I'm going to be honest, sorry to sidetrack a little.
Okay, no, of course. Let's talk some more about the way you look, Sia. Let's go, yes.
No, over the doing the show now, cognizant of a camera, even while we were on our other platform, I was very aware of how much it looks. So sometimes I would go, so interested. Yes. Oh, I'm thinking. But I'm thinking, we are not going to show this.
Yeah.
So next week's pose will just be me like this.
Warren says, "I love."
Sorry if you're on watching. You're
I love watching Sia's face when Bulelo and Gareth talk about Oprah because he gets seriously angry. Martin says, "Morning, guys. Happy Thursday from Cape Town. Pumi looking good this morning. See Pums." Scott says, "Pumi's smoking hot." Yes, sis. Just basically all the comments this morning are just about Pumi looking good. So that's terrific.
Yeah.
Shane,
honest feedback.
You know, I see Donald Trump is telling everyone how he's not only survived Corona, but he's immune. He's feeling very powerful, he says. But no one's talking about poor old Melania. I mean, she might be in the hospital. Have we got an update? Is she okay?
But you guys just said you don't care.
I know, but while we're talking about first ladies.
Make up your mind.
I'm with you there. Who cares? Like Donald Trump's the president.
But she come.
No one cares about how my mother's doing.
But she come far across Atlantic in ship. Now land. Now get sick with COVID with horrible Donald. Now Donald get better, but me not get better. Son of bitch.
I'm just astounded at the fact that, and I'm actually a little disappointed that I haven't heard him say that he's had the best recovery.
No, yeah.
Corona recovery.
He pretty much did.
The best one ever.
No, he has. Pumi, you know him. Can't resist it. I mean, Jesus. This guy, he's the only man in America who doesn't need a hype man because he's his own hype man. You know?
I love it. I needed him to come out of there and say, the best recovery that's ever been seen. Ever. The best recovery.
Yeah.
I know he said that he could have come out of there. He was feeling great. He could have come out of there within a couple of hours, but they kept him.
Yeah, he said, I wanted to come out earlier, but they said they needed to test some more. So I let them test. We have these great machines, the greatest machines. You got to see these machines. He says, these machines are so great. I didn't need to take my jacket off. They said, Mr. President, keep your jacket on. You don't need to take your jacket off. I mean, listen to me. The guy is so fucking entertaining. He was dancing to YMCA, and I sent Sia the clip yesterday.
Yes,
he's funny.
And then, but then this morning I saw, what's his name? Everybody's favorite to hate right now in South Africa on Twitter. Took that clip and put it, Jerusalem dance
who's,
over it.
Who's the person who everyone hates?
Who is that person?
Oh gosh, guys!
Oh, you mean the Kiffness?
I will he's tell
the,
you
the Kiffness.
The Kiffness.
Yeah, he's the guy who made the little the parodies through all of lockdown, and then suddenly the mayor of Ekurhuleni, who really nobody should know that person's name, he was only accused the Kiffness of suddenly being a racist because he made that song about the ANC or something. And then, you know, as soon as you do that.
Man. Yeah. Ekurhuleni is an economic powerhouse. They're building an Aurora Palace over there. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, I know.
Who?
But didn't your friend Cyril...
Aerotropolis,
Aerotropolis. Didn't your friend Cyril say they were going to build some mega city in Lanseria and then in Pretoria? And I don't think a single piece of soil has been turned over in either. And neither will
and
they.
There's nothing super about Pretoria. Let's just get that clear straight away.
Hey, you.
I said what I said.
Why is everyone on the attack today?
It started with
you know what?
It all started with Oprah.
About Arsenal. No. Who do you support? Oh, damn it. It's a blue soccer team.
Oh, Sia, come on. Blue soccer team.
Chelsea.
All right. Well, The reason I brought up this this dinner that I went to last night is not just to talk about the podcast idea which I had, which may be a shit idea. I mean, I'm willing to take any feedback. I don't mind. But we got talking about stuff that we got up to because she came with me to one or two events that we did, and she lived in Durban for a while. Now she lives in Cape Town, and she's got a French boyfriend, and he spent lockdown here. But they had an absolutely horrendous lockdown. First of all, they were going to move house, and they were doing renovations, which, you know, of course, takes much longer than there's no one in construction who's ever told the truth about how long something will take because they don't know. Things crop up.
Listen, I think it's not talked about as much as it should be talked about. But the construction industry is a lot like the taxi industry.
Big time.
They're very similar, like construction guys and taxi drivers. You can't trust anything. You're flying by the seat of your pants,
yeah.
And you need them.
Your margins are very tight.
It's a mess.
And you can never promise to do something in X amount of time because it always takes longer.
It's always like a shifting. Yeah, they're very similar, those two industries.
Well,
I'm just saying.
There's so much to get into in terms of that. And there are some stories you must remind me to tell you about that bomb that we spoke about on, I think it was Monday morning, that unexploded bomb that they
found.
Yeah, they found a World War II bomb. You've got to remind me because I got updates yesterday from people who were listening to the show on Monday about what happened with the bomb because they tried to defuse it. And that's a hell of a story. I'll tell you just now. Just remind me. Anyway, before we get to that, so her French boyfriend is out here now. They've been together for a while. I reckon a relationship that can survive lockdown can pretty much survive anything. But that wasn't all, because they had he broke his arm. He fell off a horse. And the next day was meant to be moving day. So they had to move that. He didn't have travel insurance. So it cost her like 75,000 rand. To sort out his arm. So they obviously, you know, when money comes into a relationship and you're not even married yet, you can imagine, especially if it's that kind of money. I mean, they'll sort it out because, you know, he's got some euros and all the rest. So he can give her like 5 euros. It's equivalent to 75 grand. And then his dad died and then she quit her job. I mean, she went through this litany of woes. Like it sounded like the worst lockdown ever in the history of humanity. And now they're still...
That sounds like a weakened Leanne Moll's life.
Yeah, but worse in some ways. And now they're still together. In fact, he's gone back to France just to be with his family now because he hasn't seen them for the whole of lockdown. This was meant to be his holiday. But before he left, they went to a jewelry store and tried on the ring,
get
the size of the ring. And so they're getting hitched properly. And I've never seen her so happy, and it made me happy. You know, it was such a cute thing that despite, because I said to her, look, if you can survive this stuff, you guys are solid. And it just made me happy because it just shows you. You know,
how long had they been together before lockdown?
It's none of your business, Mbulelo. No, I'm kidding. she said, I think they started dating like a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago. So they were only together about 6 months before lockdown happened. And
I had questions.
You know, we were joking when lockdown started about people who would be trapped together because we all thought we wouldn't be able to move for months potentially.
Wow.
We've since forgotten how hairy those early lockdown days were. People were smuggling girlfriends in the boot across provincial lines. It was quite a hairy experience. But I think, you know, one of the things that as you read all the reports coming out from all over the world, and now Europe is going into kind of more lockdowns, but obviously smaller and different kind of controls now that they know more, and they're getting into second waves.
Right.
The level of divorces have gone up. And of course, I think one is being cooped up together all the time and not being able to get away from each other kind of puts into stark contrast what you do and do not like about a person. But I think one of the unintended consequences of what this shit show of a year has been is I think people are more kind of, you know what, life is too short. I'm not going to continue living in misery because of other people.
Well, this
and
is it.
Kind of, I think people are just kind of going, yeah, things can change so quickly.
She was telling me
I'm going to live my best life now.
She was one of these people who was extra paranoid in the beginning. She was like, they would take their shoes off when they got back from the shop. You remember those people? And now it seems kind of ridiculous because, as you may or may not recall, under level 5, we were allowed to go to the shops without masks on. That was when it was at its most virulent and dangerous. Remember, that was when lockdown started. And for, I think, 2.5 or 3 weeks, we basically just weren't allowed to do anything except go and shop for food. But everyone who did that didn't wear masks. So it was a weird kind of, some rules applied, some didn't. And she was very uptight about these things, and so was her boyfriend. But now she's totally chilled. So I just thought it was interesting.
Bumpy ride.
Yeah, because we finally found an example of someone I actually knew who made it through lockdown with the relationship intact, and in fact, probably stronger. So that's quite
the only way. I just want to up the ante to the final level. The only way that the relationship can be tested to the final level to see if it's the real deal is if he comes back and he has two kids he didn't tell her about. That's the only way.
Then why does it have to reach that point?
No, that's just listen. If we're gonna do it, let's do it properly. But good luck to them. I hope this thing works.
Listen, I think they've been doing it properly.
They're not tests.
Yikes.
But I just
want to say,
at the beginning of lockdown, I said that divorces would be on the up, and everybody came at me like I was nuts. So I love saying I told you so.
Well, I'm sorry, Bulelo, the jury's still out on that because divorces are expensive. And maybe in better economic times, people would have considered divorces. But a lot of people who want to get divorced right now just can't afford it. So that's the truth.
It's true.
Yeah,
it's true. As someone's always said to me, rich people get divorced. The rest of us, we just have to suffer the ills of the partner. Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay, so we'll get to the news headlines in a second. There's some really good stuff to talk about there. We'll get into politics and the burning platform later on, and we'll talk a little bit about your money with Sean Sanders in a short while from Revix. So we've got loads of stuff on the agenda this morning. And you can join us by sending a message to 079-748-2090. And then I can get your messages, and you can speak to me and Pumi and Sian Mbulelo. Tell us what's on your mind. Do you want to hear what Pihleng has to say?
Okay.
Absolutely.
This is from yesterday, but it's kind of funny.
Did you really have to start with, I made COVID great again? I got up to find out what happened. What's wrong with you? I'm not going
to be able to. I just thought, because he sent it yesterday and we didn't get a chance to play it, I thought it would be hilarious.
That is good.
Yes.
That is a good laugh.
He's got a good laugh.
That guy's having a good time.
Ruth says, unfortunately, I still know one or two people who are still so paranoid in my mom's old age home. Well, listen, in the old age homes, it's better to be paranoid. I wish, Gareth, you could convince them. Otherwise, you've been here before, too. It's in Pretoria. You can't convince people. You've got to let people have their thing. And if it makes them feel more secure and more comfortable to keep following those rules, then they must. You actually just got to leave them alone, Ruth. And if it means that you have to talk to her on video conferencing apps and things, which for old people can be a struggle, then you got to do that, I'm afraid.
There's a friend of mine who's a little disappointed that things are going back to normal, because for now she had been ignoring and not having to deal with her mother-in-law, saying, let's just be safe. You can't come over. I also won't come over. But now it's like,
I wonder how many people were secretly hoping that this would be the end of their mother-in-law. That, like, she'd get the COVID. Yeah. Because people do that. Oh, well, oh, you know, nature. Oh, coronavirus. Oh, it's too bad. Hey, do you want to talk about something really controversial? There are people who are genuinely upset that coronavirus didn't take out the millions that it was meant to. And not because they're shit people, because, I mean, that...
They want to be Thanos.
They want to be Thanos. Yeah, they want to reduce the population, and they were hoping this would be the thing. You know, like the click of the fingers, and then half the people are gone. Just because we're always worried about the planet. And I posted this picture yesterday on Instagram, which got an enormous response. See, I've got this river in front of me. And it goes through the golf course, and it's actually very pretty when it's clean. And with the flood that happened the other day, because there's always a flood, there's the upside of the flood is it washed away all the stink and the smell, because really the river's become a bit of an open sewer. So at least when it floods, all that stuff washes down, and the water's a little bit cleaner because it's mostly fresh rainwater. The problem is that it also washes down all the rubbish that people put in the river upstream. So I took a picture of just a whole, like, congealed mess of Coke bottles and polystyrene and just shit that is gathered on the river. And it makes it all very, very ugly. And not just ugly, but dangerous, because there are, you know, there are birds that, like duck, live on this thing. And, you know, human beings, we seem to have this capacity to befoul all the good things on God's green earth. And it really bothers me. I try to keep my space clean, you know, gather up the mess. If I see a piece of paper, even when I walk into the studio sometimes and there might've been people downstairs. Now, the worst for me is picking up cigarette butts, because I hate the idea that someone's, first of all, their filthy mouth was on there. Second of all, it's Corona time, so you got to be extra careful. Third of all, there's nothing that smells worse than ash.
And it's got spit.
Mm. But ash, you know that smell of like an old ashtray is the worst smell. Yes, that's a terrible smell. After that,
smoking is revolting. People need to know
is.
That. You
it's
are
so
revolting if you smoke. Just
so,
oh.
I always pick up people's stompies when I see them outside our offices, or if they leave them, you know, on the veranda of my house. Because people do. Some people just ash wherever they want. They don't actually care. It's revolting, as Mbulelo says, but also smokers do themselves no favors, because they could be called revolting too. Anyway, I was looking at this river yesterday, and I thought, I'm no David Attenborough. And, he's done this beautiful documentary called Life on Earth. And it's all everyone's talking about right now.
It's incredible, by the way. I never thought he could outdo himself. It is incredible.
I have to see this thing, because everyone's talking about how great it is. And, you know, Mbulelo, your say-so now as well. It also helps to convince me. Not that I needed to be convinced. He's always been great. But I looked at the state of this river, and I was like, you know, we need 100 David Attenboroughs for every shithead litterer. And I don't know how long it's going to take for us to get to that stage as humanity, where we actually have some respect for the animals around us. Because we talk in South Africa about our dignity and our rights. Mm. And, you know, people they want to be respected. People all want to be respected. But I reckon if you can't clean up and live in a place that isn't filled with your own ordure, you just don't deserve anyone's respect. And
ooh, filled with your own
with your
ordure. Look that one up, Sia. You'll love the definition. Sia's gonna do a quick Google here. Go, Sia. Let's see. I just want to see his face.
How do you spell that?
O R O N A. O R D U R E.
Ooh.
Read it. Yeah, read it, Sia. It's a nice one.
Read it out loud, Sia.
Something regarded as vile or dung.
Dung.
Order.
Exactly. So it really pissed me off.
Place is just order.
You know, I was having such a nice day.
It really isn't.
So I was having a nice day, and I was taking the dog for a walk, and it was all very bucolic. There's another nice word for you, Sia.
That's a good one.
Okay, so it's all bucolic. And then I just thought, you know, here's this beautiful place that could be so nice, and who fucks it up? The humans.
So although it does really begin with respect for oneself.
Yes.
And for me, the most perfect Zulu word is zithande, which the English translation is love yourself, but it's a little bit more than that, right? It's about taking care of you and it to the highest possible standard and ideal. And it really is about self-respect, because mm-hmm. when you respect yourself, then you behave in a particular manner, mm-hmm. you know, you, and then it's easy for people to respect you. Then it's easy for other people to respect you. It's got to start there. I think that's one of the things for me when I look around all of the reports we have with all our politicians. I wish I could make a PSA.
Yeah.
That says zithande.
Zithande. You know, I love that. I've written that down.
Just love yourself. Just love yourself. You know, some things, because if you do, right, if we are zithande, then there are many things you won't do.
Mm.
Simply because it's just... Even as you think about it with reference to yourself, you're just like, that doesn't reflect what I love about me.
So is that because people are asking, Carol says, how do you spell it? Zithande, right?
Yes.
Zithande. All right. So thank you. Thank you for that. That's a great word.
And it's a good one. So from a psychological standpoint, my mom's always said, if you want to know who somebody is, go and see what their bedroom looks like. And she's that's strictly from a boringly, if you need to know what
but
somebody...
she's a head doctor, so she knows these things.
And listen, I've never been the tidiest person, so but her words ring true now, which is why now I've become
and let's
say
clear,
I'm OCD.
Let's just understand this, because she didn't mean like they have to have money and a very expensive bedroom. She means it must be clean and presentable and healthy. That's all. And you don't have to have a lot of money to be clean. You know,
No. Listen, there are people with shacks where if you go into their shacks,
they are clean.
It is clean from corner to corner. Mm-hmm. They're letting you know what they think of themselves. But to echo your point there, Gareth, on litter, I think I told you last year I was in Sweden and I got the chance to go to Volvo and to see some of the work that they're doing there, even within that space. And I didn't know this until I was there. I don't know if this is common knowledge, but the Scandinavian nations are so clean now that they're actually purchasing a lot of refuse from other countries.
Yeah.
I don't know if people know that.
They buy it and they turn it into biofuel, and they turn it into like construction material. Yeah.
Yes. Some of their roads are made of recycled plastic. Some of the roads, so it's not tar. They are using other people's garbage. And this was, I got to go on this insane tour of Volvo that site. And what I thought to myself was, wow, my mother's words rang true. When I think of us as a nation in South Africa, now this is a collective, this is what we think of ourselves. And to the point of Zitande, if you can't take yourself seriously, why should anyone else?
Yeah.
Why should anyone take South Africa seriously?
And this is Sweden.
Specifically the...
Yeah, this was in Sweden. Yeah.
Sweden is the girl she thinks she is. She's that girl sitting in front of the class and her pencil is always sharpened and she's done her homework. Yeah. And she actually reminds the teacher that we actually have homework that we hadn't covered.
Yeah, I never liked those people in class, but you're right.
My friend's daughter.
You got a friend's daughter who's like that, Pumi?
Mom, I'm going to be late for school. Like, checks on her. And my friend is chaos.
All right, well.
The daughter's like the mom.
We have to move on. Pumi's introduced this word to us, which has got everybody on fire this morning. We've got CZ and Carol and Ruth and everybody talking about Zitande. So, very nice.
PSA. We need a PSA. Just tell everybody. Mm. Tell everybody about it.
And this morning's episode of Siafunda with Pumilele Mashiko is "It sounds good. Keep practicing." Remember that shit? I remember that. All right, here are some headlines. You want to know what's happening in the world? Well, you've come to the right place. First of all, this morning, our top story from ENCA, Ramaphosa to detail economic recovery plan. Pumi, try not to look like you're not impressed.
So, listen here. I've told you this before.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see the man succeed.
We all want to see the man succeed.
Does he ask himself, this is a moment, does he have a moment where he looks at himself and he thinks, yeah, Zitanda.
Zitanda, you see? So he's gonna unveil the big economic reconstruction and recovery plan today. He will virtually address the two houses of parliament, these being the National Council of Provinces. He says that the coronavirus pandemic has plunged the country and the continent into an unprecedented crisis. He says extraordinary measures are required to ensure a speedy and sustainable economic recovery. So hold your breath for Silili and his plans today. The Gautrain is in the news because they've had a strike, obviously. The strike has ended after NUMSA agreed to, guess what, a 4.1% salary hike. Now, in these economic times, for anyone to even expect a hike instead of a reduction is unbelievable. But, you know, no problem to NUMSA, who have no idea, no regard for what's actually happening in the real world. They got their 4.1%. And operations were disrupted for 2 weeks with workers affiliated to the union demanding 8%. After they deadlocked in the talks, NUMSA and Bombela, the company operating the Gautrain, escalated negotiations to the CCMA. And then they settled on a a 4.1% salary increase. Nice, good for them. I know that I took a 50% salary decrease this year, so I wonder if NUMSA can help me. Oh, wait, hang on, they can't. So there we go. Also from Eyewitness News this morning, G20, that's the G20 of countries. It's so funny, you see all these world leaders in the G20, they're meeting virtually. So if you go to the story, you'll actually see all the people from the 20 countries. They're 4 blocks down and 5 blocks across, and you can actually see each of them on their video conference. And it's cool to see like what kind of backgrounds the world leaders have, because it tells you a little bit about their countries, right? And they all had a meeting, and the G20 nations announced on Wednesday a 6-month extension to a debt suspension initiative for the world's poorest countries ravaged by the coronavirus pandemic, triggering criticism from campaigners who said it didn't go far enough. Again, this is like NUMSA and Bombela, right? You want everything for free, but you don't take into consideration how even these G20 countries, the most powerful and rich countries in the world, even they are having a very tough time at the moment. What I like most about this G20 screenshot of the leaders is that China is right at the bottom in the right.
It's not in alphabetical order. That's not right.
China is in the bottom right.
That's right. So you see, it should be in alphabetical order.
Xi Jinping is down at the bottom. And it's hard to recognize some of them because you can't really...
What did Merkel have? That's all that
Merkel
matters.
Merkel's got a bookshelf in the background. She's just above Xi Jinping's bookshelf, and then the Bundesliga, the Euro flag, and next to it the German flag. And the French president has got, he's obviously in the Elysee Palace because he's got all that gold French. You know, the French are tremendously impressed by these things. They just never really got over Louis XIV. And he's also got the Euro and the French flag. Next to him is the Canadian.
No austerity measures there.
No, thank you. Then there's the Japanese. The Japanese prime minister's got a very boring background. It's really just the Japanese flag with a plain white wall.
Which already we know is very boring.
Modi is the Indian.
It's minimalistic.
Yeah, it's minimalistic, definitely. And the Japanese do that so well. Pumi, have you ever been to a store called Muji?
No.
Muji is one of my favorite stores. I hope they're still in business after Corona. But Muji makes all over the world. They're in. I went. The last Muji I was at was in Germany when you and I were there. They have such great stores with such nice things in them. Like for people who are super organized, like on a level like the Japanese are. Yes, this Muji is just fantastic. They make all kinds of things. Little containers. They make pens. They make bags. They make even some clothing. And my favorite shirts in the world are this Japanese T-shirt maker. Yo, they are nice. I cannot tell you how good they are. You know, you get those jackets from them as well. What is it called? Damn, man, I've worn them 100 times. I'm not wearing one of their shirts today, but they are so good. I can't think of the name now. It's just escaped me.
A bomber jacket?
Yeah, I wear like
that.
Can I go and check quickly? Because there's people going to ask me why.
You got to do it.
Talk among yourselves, because otherwise people are going to get annoyed with me that I couldn't remember the name.
Yeah.
Well, and he's right. He's really going to the Japanese. At the center of their culture is if you take care of the little things, the big things take care of themselves. That goes back, right back to samurai culture. And so here's Gareth being Japanese. They've done it. They've sold him.
I am so philosophical this morning.
I can't wait to go to Japan. I don't know if either of you have been. Is that a country you've been?
It's definitely one of the places I want to go to.
Everything I've read just sounds like a dream. Clean, the people stay out of your face. It's awesome.
I think that's the ticket for you.
No, South Africans, listen, especially now level one, the queuing thing. We forgot that queuing. You mustn't. Don't be breathing on my shoulder. We're back to that again.
People, can't believe that bad habit. People have messed up that bad habit.
Yo,
it's my worst thing.
I love you, South Africans.
So
just stand. People would.
If I can touch you with my hand in a queue, you're too close. South Africans, I believe, on the. pair of yours that you put out, please add that one. We don't know how to queue.
But
so, I love you. So my fellow South Africans, I love you.
So the manufacturer of these T-shirts, which I love in Japan, is Uniqlo, U-N-I-Q-L-O. And they've got a branch in New York, which I've been to a couple of times. And they've got them all over the rest of the world, too, except we don't have it here. Man, do they make nice clothes.
Mm.
All right, you want to hear one more story quickly before we get to Sean? We've got something from the BBC here. This is about two priests. Surprise, surprise. What do you think two priests in the Vatican have been accused of?
Money laundering.
Being too kind and thinking of children and protecting their rights moving forward.
Uh-huh.
Playing ring-a-ring-a-rosie with kids.
That's right, Sia. Exactly right. Yeah. Well done. Pums, you want to have a guess quickly?
I'm not participating.
Ah, Pumi.
Protesting this particular. Well,
two Catholic priests have gone on trial in the Vatican, marking the first time that the city-state has prosecuted a case of alleged sexual abuse. The first time that they've
I'm Cyril shocked.
Cyril shocked, yeah. So Gabriele... That's actually a guy's name, Gabriele Martinelli, who's 28, is accused of sexually assaulting an altar boy, surprise, surprise, between 2007 and 2012. And Enrico Radice, who's 72, is charged with covering up the alleged assault while he was rector of the theological school where it is claimed the abuse happened. So well done, the Vatican, finally, after 2,000 years.
I have a headline that I'd like to share with you guys.
Yes, go ahead.
I have a headline that I'd like to share with you guys that I saw this morning on Bloomberg.
Yeah.
Wells Fargo. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we were all beyond even Cyril shocked when the PPE tender scams came out. We were just like, how low can these people go?
Yeah.
And this headline, this 100 Wells Fargo employees that have been suspended pending investigations to the fact that they misappropriated COVID funds that were meant for small businesses. So that I found that particularly fascinating story, because then I thought, I mean, I think the idea of theft, fraud and money laundering is not unique to certain parts of the world. But I thought we were all kind of like, this is the lowest it can ever be, like COVID funds. And this in a private company, Wells Fargo, and 100 people involved in it was quite a wow, guys. Yeah. Wow.
Not surprising, actually. I mean, didn't the global financial crisis that Lehman Brothers thrust upon us come from a whole lot of, I mean, it was obviously the subprime mortgage thing, which we'll get. I mean, Sean Saunders can tell us all about this. Sean's just joined us now. Sean is the boss over at Revix, and we'll speak to him in a second. You guys were talking about personal space and how people don't appreciate that. So Melissa says, even before COVID, I had personal space issues. I would get palpitations if someone was too close to me in a queue, breathing on your neck. Ugh.
Mm.
Yeah. See,
but COVID, you know, you had to have like the shopping cart between you and the next person. And that was so wonderful. It was wonderful. Nice.
I hope that stays.
I was at the bank on Monday.
It hasn't, Gareth. It hasn't. The problem is it hasn't. We're back to our habits.
You see, you guys are ungrateful. You know, some of us single people who sometimes just long for some touch. We go to the shop at month end.
I hope someone will bump into him. It'll be the only attention he's got in months.
Because we know we will just have some... sorry. Right. I meant to bump into you there.
Okay, well, Sean Saunders is here. How are you doing, Sean?
Morning, Gareth. Yeah, very good, thanks. How are you doing?
Good, man. All right, so let's talk because it's great to have you on again. And we've got lots to get into today. It's that time of the week where we get to take a look at what has been happening in the world of crypto. And Sean Saunders from Revix is here to give us a little scoop on that. So what has been happening lately in crypto? I'm not exactly thrilled when I look at my own portfolio, but are there exciting things going on that I'm not paying attention to?
So the market's moving around. I mean, ahead of this US election, I think you've got a lot of movement across asset classes, whether that's in stocks, whether that's in crypto, whether that's in bonds. A lot of people are really nervous about what's going on.
Yeah.
You go beyond just the election that's coming up. And I mean, you've got all the uncertainty with just the pandemic. And I mean, France just reenacted or reinstated a curfew. So you've got Europe kind of locking down. So there's a lot of volatility in this market, but that is a big opportunity as well. So if you look at the crypto space, I mean, just 2 weeks ago, you had payments giant Square, and they became the next major institution to buy Bitcoin as a reserve asset. So they purchased 4,709 Bitcoin for $50 million. And just to put that in perspective, that's 1% of Square's total assets on their balance sheet, which is remarkable. And if you look at another company on the NASDAQ called MicroStrategy, they made waves about 3 months ago where they purchased $425 million worth of Bitcoin. And again, they held it on their balance sheet just alongside their US dollars. So these are major moves in the crypto space. But I mean, maybe just fast forwarding and looking at today, you're seeing Bitcoin up 7% over the last week. So it has been a pretty good week for crypto. Our top 10 bundles up 9%. Our smart contract and payment bundles up 6%. And if you look over a year, or since the start of the year, so since the 1st of January this year, Bitcoin's up over 85%. Our top 10 bundles up over 100%. And then our smart contract and payment bundles are up over 120%. Now, if you compare that to another good investment, like gold as an example, that's up about 30%. So I think there's been a bit of a pullback. But overall, I mean, 2020 has actually been a pretty good year from an investing standpoint, even though everything seems to be going haywire elsewhere.
Now, you mentioned the U.S. elections, and I'm curious as to what you think the effect of those elections has been and what you think might happen after November the 3rd. Because obviously there are people who are predicting it'll go one way or the other, but really it doesn't matter who's president, actually, because the markets just want to know in terms of stability and certainty. So what usually takes place around election time in the U.S. when it comes to things like the crypto and the gold market, which I know Revix is very much involved in?
Yeah, so investors hate risk, and risk can be the price volatility, or it could be uncertainty about some uncertain future event. And essentially, that's what the election is. It's this uncertain future event where you don't know who's going to become president or how exactly they'll or if there will be even a handover that'll take place. And the market then discounts that risk. So they then say, well, when I say the market, I mean all the different investors out there, all the different buyers and sellers. They say either we want to buy into assets or we don't want to be buying into assets. We want to sell assets.
Right.
And generally speaking, if you're looking at a lot of institutional players, so the likes of a pension fund or a hedge fund, as an example, they are going to look at the market and say, maybe we don't want to be in this risky market right now. Maybe we would rather want to sell out of it. And that then leads to sort of these disallocations where you've got a lot of people looking to move their funds out of a particular investment and into another investment that could perhaps be safer. And that creates an opportunity where a trader could then go, well, listen, I want to enter this market. And what this does really is it exacerbates the volatility in the market. So you'll end up seeing slightly bigger would be an understatement. You see a lot of volatility and really big price swings on a daily basis. And that's what you're probably going to see now until the election, depending on the outcome of the election, because you're right, it doesn't really matter who actually lands up in power. It's just how we go about doing that. Who actually lands up getting elected is largely irrelevant. So if there is a successful handover, I think we'll then see potentially, and this is not financial advice, but I think you could potentially see a pretty big move upwards in the market.
So we were talking about crypto a moment ago. Is the market for crypto, in your opinion, maturing like the internet sector did, 10, 15 years ago?
Yeah. So I'm going to be dramatic today, and I'm going to say that there was sort of the watershed moment in crypto on the 1st of October. So on the 1st of October, I don't know if Gareth, have you ever heard of BitMEX?
No.
No. So unless you have fallen very deep down this crypto rabbit hole, you probably wouldn't have heard of BitMEX. But BitMEX is a crypto derivatives exchange. They're not a small player. At one point in time, they were the biggest crypto exchange globally. They move about $1 to $2 billion worth of crypto through the platform every single day. And on the 1st of October, the U.S. Department of Justice filed both civil and criminal charges against BitMEX. Now, if you think about this and you think back to maybe 2017 or 2018, hell, even 2019, this sort of news would have completely derailed the crypto market. I mean, you're talking about one of the biggest exchanges in the world, essentially having the biggest security and justice department look at clamping down on you. And you know what the market did? Absolutely nothing. It shrugged. And that is the sort of and it is, I'm geeking out in crypto here, but that's the sort of maturation that we're seeing. You've got institutional players entering the space, and I just mentioned MicroStrategy and Square, and that's then being followed by a whole host of other institutional players that are essentially looking at this from a more rational perspective. When some big news breaks, like that of BitMEX, people aren't just running for their heels and panic selling or panic buying. There is this sort of very logical, take a long-term approach. Let's establish real prices.
You're not seeing those speculators and those amateurs who are changing the market with their whims and fancies. It's rather a more considered and well-thought-through approach.
Most certainly. Yeah. And you're seeing regulation rolled out globally, which is another big move. And yeah, it's quite interesting because I think a lot of people in the crypto space, they sort of view regulation as this really terrible thing. You know, the government's coming for your money.
Yeah.
But, you know, the truth is, if you're looking at, and this is big news, I don't think a lot of people know this, but currently German and Swiss banks can now take custody of your cryptocurrency. And there's various regulatory frameworks being put in place across the globe. South Africa is a little further behind than other markets. But I mean, within the next 2 years, the crypto market globally will be very much treated similar to a securities market, with a stock market sort of structure and whatnot. And, you know, these sorts of moments where you are seeing regulation come into play, they get followed by institutional investors entering the space. And while I think the maturation of this industry is happening slowly, it's happening. And, you know, the idea of crypto playing by the rules, that's a very big deal. I mean, that means that big institutions are taking this seriously. And I think that's a very big investment opportunity.
Let me just go to a question that we've got here from Shirley Ann Smith, because we're almost out of time. She says, please remind everybody to include these things in their will and to have the key available to somebody. Otherwise, the legacy is lost to the family. So if you are a crypto investor, how can you make sure that your family inherit your crypto assets?
So if you are holding crypto yourself,
yeah,
which you can do on a hardware wallet or a software wallet, you would then need to make sure that that private key, which is essentially the key to your cryptocurrency, is securely held by a third-party custodian. Alternatively, and I'm just going to punt Revix right now, mm-hmm. Alternatively, you can look at a platform like Revix, and we do that for you. So you could sign up a beneficiary form. You would designate exactly who you would like to receive your crypto later on. And essentially, we would then handle that process if you were to be, unfortunately, pass away, yeah.
Well, that happens to people. I mean, listen.
In the event of your demise.
Yeah, in the event of your demise. So, all right, Sean, that's pretty much all we got time for this morning. But you can find out more by going to the social media handles for Revix, and Sean or his team will be able to answer your questions there too. On Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, it's one word, at Revix, R-E-V-I-X, invest. At Revix Invest. Go and take a look at it. Sean, completely unrelated, but Johan, Pierre, Ruth, bunch of people saying, "Wow, Sean is so hot." Well, I mean, Sean used to be paid to model. I mean, you know, he's smart and good looking. So yes, people, because they can see us for the first time. See, they can
he
see.
He also came on here with that Sia kind of like straight face, chiseled, look.
That's his thing.
That. We saw that.
But you understand the reasons why
you guys are too kind.
The reason
I'm just going to come on the show every time I'm feeling a little down.
No, don't get ahead of yourself. The reason this is happening is because we're actually broadcasting. There's podcasting. There's the live show which we're doing, and now we're also visual, so people can watch us on this new platform. So that's why all these people are suddenly commenting on how you look.
Also, people are thirsty. That's why that's happening as well.
It's true. Yeah. Very good.
Munalo, why are you this person?
He's a horrible person.
People are just appreciating. Sean, do not let Munalo rain on your parade. People love the look of you.
I won't. Thank you. People, but I've got to say, guys, I've given a few speeches. Well, we've given a few speeches, but a year ago, I gave a speech, a presentation, should I say, in front of about 3,000 people. Yeah. And you're already nervous when you're getting up there to speak in front of that many people. And the MC of the event decided before they started with the actual presentation to give me an intro of pulling up a whole bunch of men's health covers and a whole bunch of other pictures. And I was red the entire time.
But dude,
so I've now just learned to embrace it. I mean, that's something
I've
heard.
I think the mention of men's health then just puts it out there that when you come back on the next time, you'll come like topless.
Bare chest.
Now that's what. Now we have to see it.
Sean, ratings, my friend, ratings. If I had a men's health cover with me on it, you better believe it would be in the background on every single video conferencing app I would ever go on in my life. But alas.
Yeah, but you see, the other thing is, it's this little thing, which is you go start a business in the financial security space.
Yeah,
I'm whiter than snow right now. I am the whitest guy in Cape Town, to be honest with you. I haven't seen sun. And the computer screens that are sitting in front of me, they don't tan me like they used to. So I don't think you want to see me without my top on right now.
So, Sean, just before you go, we have a segment called Siafunda. Earlier, Pumi gave us a word, Zitande. But there is another one now, why people are giving you this attention. It's more Xhosa than Zulu. Abantu banxaniwe. Just so you know.
What does it mean?
That is thirsty.
People are thirsty. Don't listen to him. Don't listen to him. Right. These are the moments when you must need Twitter's warnings. The Xhosa guys, don't trust them. This way.
All right. Very good. So, Sean, thanks very much, dude. We'll speak to you soon. Go to Revix.com and you can find out what the smart way is to invest in crypto and at the same time in their PAX Gold offering, too. I've got a little bit of both and I'm very happy that I do. It's a much better place to put your money than just leave it in the bank at what? What's the current interest rate banks are giving you?
1.5% in South Africa. Jesus. I think that's a 7-day call account.
Ridiculous. So don't do that. Yeah, you work hard.
Yeah, that's lower than inflation, right? You're just guaranteed to lose your money.
You work hard for your money. Don't let your money be lazy with you. So very good.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Sean. Good to see you.
Fumi, Mbulelo, Gareth, guys. Cheers. I will see you hopefully with a top on the next time around. Have a very good rest of the week.
Please, only when you've got a decent tan. Otherwise, it's going to be embarrassing.
Yeah, there we go.
Thanks, bro.
Guys, have a great one. Chat to you soon.
Be good. Cheers. Sean Sanders, Revix.com is where you can find out more. So what we've got coming up next, very exciting. What's that, Pums?
I'm saying this is a much better screen. What happened to Sia?
What does it say on your shirt? Africa, your time is now. Like that. All right, Sia is busy readying us for the Burning Platform, which begins in a short while. We would love to hear from you during the course of the Burning Platform. You can do that by messaging us on 0797482090, or if you like, on this platform, which is where you can also see us. It's on the cliffcentral.com website. You just click the link and you can join us. All right, all of that and more is on the way. Stick around, and here's a song that I know you're going to like for a Thursday morning. It's One Day to the Weekend.
CliffCentral.com